Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
The Lord is doing something within your life. And there's something that we all have those mementos. We all have those mementos. Like those things that I've carried into this relationship with Jesus. Are they necessary? Are they always necessarily bad things? They're not always bad things. But are they things that keep you holding on to the past life? If they're things that keep you holding on to the past life, or, you know, rolling down that road of, like, you know, nostalgia and all that good stuff, it's never as good as you thought it was.
From the life you lived from before you came to know Jesus, there are likely some artifacts or mementos to remember some of those days. But were those days before Jesus truly worth remembering? In today's message, Pastor James will encourage you to lay down whatever might be holding you back from diving deeper into your relationship with the Lord. Sometimes those things from the old days that we keep tucked away can hold us hostage. Jesus is the breaker of chains, and he'll strengthen you. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 19 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some.
Ever been around any individuals high on some sort of drug, you understand that. I mean, there's sometimes this thing that happens, and I don't care how many guys you got on this dude, I mean, nobody can overpower this guy. I've been in those situations. I've seen those things taken. Like right in our church foyer one time. I mean, it took several guys to get one guy just down. And there's this thing that happens, and I've witnessed it even with kids, even with teenage boy. And was there a demonic influence with that case and drugs too? Yeah, I'm sure there was. But man, I don't know what it is, but there's just this power that's there, and it is insane. Insane. That's why it's good to know Jesus. That's why it's good to be in Christ, and Christ in you. Okay? These guys don't know Jesus, and they end up, you know, getting beat up by this demon. I mean, and they run out of this house. They got no clothes on, and they got beaten up. And everybody's like, "What is going on? Like, what? Wait, there goes the Ghostbusters. Like, they're gone. Like, where'd you guys go? Must not have worked. It didn't work for them, but it did work for Ephesus, because God can use a crazy story and use it to trigger a revival." Right? So here you got these guys run out, and it says this, verse 17. The story of what happened spread quickly all throughout Ephesus. Of course it did. Of course it did. If that happens in Galveston, everybody's going to know about it, right? Did you hear about that one guy beat up those seven guys, and they all ran out of the house naked and beaten up? Yeah, you're going to hear about that, right? So word spread through Ephesus to the Jews and the Greek alike. A solemn fear descended on the city, and the name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored because of this story. That's crazy. That's crazy. You got sweat rags healing people. You got exorcists who don't know what in the world they're doing. They're getting beaten up, and God is getting glorified the whole time. It's crazy. We think it's got to be so clean and so sterile, right? Preach this message, everybody gets saved, revival happens, all that stuff. That's not how it works. That's not always how it works. Sometimes revival breaks out in the weirdest of situations. Look what happens for these guys. So it says that the story spreading through, solemn fear descends on the city. The name of the Lord Jesus was greatly honored. Many who became believers confessed their sinful practices, which there were many in Ephesus, and a number of them who had been practicing sorcery brought their incantation books or their spell books and all this other type of stuff, and they burned them in a public bonfire. This is book burning that's going on here. Now, this is not a government-issued book burning or a church-issued book. This is people just saying, like, you know what? I'm following Jesus now, and I've been holding on to this. So I'm just going to get rid of this, because this connects me to the old life. and I don't want any more connections to the old life, so I'm just going to get rid of it. I'm just going to burn it up. And that's what they did. It says the value of the books was several million dollars. Several, anywhere from $1 to $5 million is the estimated value of the material that they burned. And you might be thinking like, well, what a waste. Why not sell it? And that all that money could go to the church or go to the poor. No, get rid of it. Burn it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Just get rid of it. The point of it is this. If the Lord is doing something within your life, and there's something that we all have those mementos. We all have those mementos. Like those things that I've carried into this relationship with Jesus. Are they necessary? Are they always necessarily bad things? They're not always bad things. But are they things that keep you holding on to the past life? If they're things that keep you holding on to the past life, or, you know, rolling down that road of, like, you know, nostalgia and all that good stuff, it's never as good as you thought it was. I'm sorry, but it was never as good as you thought it was. Your brain has tricked you into thinking it was as good as you thought it was, okay? I would love to go back to some of those days. But then when I really think about it, I'm like, it probably wasn't all that great. No, it wasn't. It wasn't. Your brain likes to trick you, right? It likes to sugarcoat a lot, especially the past. Just be done. Just be done. There was a point in time in my walk with Jesus, like coming into the relationship with Jesus, I was born in 79, right? So I'm technically, I don't know, like an 80s kid or whatever. Early 90s, rap, hip-hop, I love it. Oh, man, so good. And I had a collection of all these CDs that I could never play around my Christian friends because they told me this is bad. Like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's good music, right? Good beats, good hooks, and all that good stuff. Like, there was one time I was just going through, and I, you know, and listen, whatever music you want to listen to, listen to whatever music you want to listen to. I don't, you know, sometimes, you know, I put on my Michael Jackson Thriller album on my record player because sometimes I just love a little bit of Michael Jackson. A little bit of that beat is just, and the guy was a pretty, you know, amazing performer. But I had this box of memorabilia, I would say, from the past, and it was all CDs. And there's not a single one of them in there that I could ever play within the presence of my wife because of all the words that were dropped on a lot of these songs that were demeaning towards women. And so I'm looking at these CDs, and I'm thinking, like, you know what? Why am I holding on to this? Why am I holding on to this stuff? And it doesn't matter of like, well, James, you know, as a, you know, a Christian, you can listen to what you want to listen to. Listen, all that arguments is stupid, okay? It's all dumb, right? In the sense that it came down to a personal conviction between me and the Lord, right? And I had to deal with that. I don't care what you thought about it. I had to deal with what God was telling me, and he and I do business, okay? So it came down to it, and he's like, James, why are you holding on to that? And I was like, well, because of all those good days. He's like, good days. Good days without me. Were they really good days? I mean, there were fun experiences, good memories and all that stuff, but when you boiled it down, not many of those days were good days at all. They were miserable days. And I could see it through each and every one of those albums, those CDs. Because every one of those things would represent something that I was grasping for. And I was reaching for purpose and hope and peace and some sort of significance within this life, meaning. And never, not a single one of them. They brought me temporary joy, but not a single one of them delivered on what they promised. None of them did. So I'm looking at this box of CDs, and you know, the Lord's like kind of convicting me in my heart. I could have kept the CDs and never listened to them. I could have done that. You know, I could have done that, and that would have been fine. But I was like, you know what, Lord? And here's the other thing, because this is how I think. I could have taken them all, and at that point in time, there was a system going where you could take and you could, you know, sell back your CDs to, like, Hastings or, you know, whatever other music store out there, and they give you not hardly anything for them, but at least I got back some money, right? Because I've spent a lot of money on this stuff. That was going through my head too. And there was not peace within my heart even about that. The Lord's like, dude, just deal with it. Just get rid of it. So I took them, and I had fun with it. I didn't burn them because that's probably dangerous and toxic, burning CDs. I don't think that's recommended at all. But I took my baseball bat, my Louisville Slugger. I threw up a CD, and I smashed every single one of those dudes. And I had a blast. You know what? I don't miss any of them today. I don't miss any of them today. And again, I don't. What you listen to and all that stuff, what you read, listen, you need to be in tune with the Lord in your relationship. Okay, now there are obviously some things we should not be watching, obviously some things we should not be listening to, obviously some things we should not be reading, duh. I think that's common knowledge, but there's some things where we're like, well, I don't know, can I read this, can I not read that, can I listen to this, can I not? Listen, how about you just ask Jesus? And if he says no, move on. And if you're holding on to something like these guys, well, maybe it's time to throw it in the fire and just move on. I can say from personal experience, you're not going to miss it. You're not going to miss it. These guys needed to make this statement. They needed this moment within their life. They needed this revival to happen within their city. And they weren't even breaking out the calculators to calculate how much of, you know, millions of dollars they were wasting, quote unquote, by throwing these into the bonfire. They're like, look, the Lord has come into my life. There's been a drastic change within my life. I am moving on from the old ways and I'm pressing on into a new way with Jesus. So all this stuff, this all represents my old life and I don't want it anymore. I don't want it around me anymore. I don't need those reminders. You and I have plenty of reminders trapped in here to last you a lifetime. You don't need the stuff. That's what they came to. And so they burned everything. It says, so the message about the Lord spread widely and had a powerful effect. When we do radical things for the Lord, I think they can have a powerful effect. I know within my life personally, that was like one of those moments where it felt like, well, I felt like I did something like, I felt good. Like I felt like powerful in one sense. Like this one thing that kind of owned me for a while, I owned it. And I smashed it to pieces. And I felt free. I felt good. I imagine it was the same way with these individuals as they're throwing that stuff into this bonfire. There was a release. They felt good. They felt free. And it had a powerful effect on their city. It says, afterward, Paul felt compelled by the Spirit to go over to Macedonia, to Achaia, before going to Jerusalem. So this is, he's just kind of like forecasting here a little bit. And after that, he said, I must go on to Rome. He sent his two assistants, Timothy and Erastus, ahead to Macedonia while he stayed a while longer in the province of Asia. So this revival is breaking out. Crazy things are happening. Exorcisms have gone wrong. People are getting healed by sweaty garments and all this good stuff. Book burning and revival. Revival. Like lives are being transformed. In a way that we've seen little pockets of this happen here and there throughout history. I would put the revival of Ephesus up there with some of the greatest revivals our human history has ever known. We just read through it and we're like, well, that's the Bible. It's just the Bible. It's not another story in the Bible. This is a huge revival in a major part of our world that had major impact on this world. We'll see this next week, as I had some foolish plan of going through this whole chapter today. That ain't happening. So come back next week if you want to hear what happens later. But we'll talk about the impact, the economic impact that this action had on Ephesus and their great goddess, Diana, right? I was going to call this message Dirty Diana, but maybe I'll say that for next week. That's another Michael Jackson thing. Listen, this goddess they have set up for her, it's just wild. It's crazy. We'll talk about her next week. Let me read you this story, though. There's a revival that broke out in 1904, okay? You guys may be familiar with it. In Wales, this Welsh revival that took place. There's a whole long story concerning this, but I just wanted to read to you guys just something that, a few things that I picked out of this revival that took place, okay? You had an individual who was there. He wasn't, I don't have his name in front of me right now. I'll pull that up next week. But you had this individual who was, he was preaching. He was just a faithful preacher. And he would preach sermons. And people would say, well, he wasn't that great of a speaker, but he loved the Lord, and he was faithfully delivering the word. And he was doing that for a while. All the while, as he's leading this church in Wales, he is praying for 13 years. He's praying every single day. He's begging and pleading with God for revival to break out within his little country, okay, geographically where he's at. 13 years he's praying for this to happen, every day, faithfully. I mean, he's just agonizing in one sense, just begging God, please send revival, please send revival. Revival showed up on one day as they were having a prayer meeting. Right before they're having this little prayer meeting at church, and as they're getting together with prayer meetings, everybody's getting off subject. We know how that goes sometimes, and you know it's all very scattered, and everybody's bringing up politics and all this stuff. And then this individual says, "Hold on, we need to refocus this thing. We need to pray, and in fact, let's focus this back onto Jesus." In the scriptures, and the prayer meeting went silent. It went silent for a while until this little girl stood up and said, I love Jesus with my whole heart. Boom, the fire fell. Her testimony, then other people started standing up and saying the same thing, I love Jesus with my whole heart. And people, that was the start of this revival. That's how this revival began. And it spread. Within the first 3 or 4 months, 70,000 people got saved. Within a matter of 7 months, 7 to 8 months, over 100,000 people were saved. It had such an impact from 1904 to 1905, such an impact on the community there. Here's some reports of what was happening. It says this great awakening, this awakening that took place. During the time of revival, police were left with virtually nothing to do and the courts were empty. Defund the police. Revival. That's how you, I love police. Keep those dudes paid. Actually, give them a raise. They have a hard job, right? Them and teachers. Let's maybe reform the education system quite a bit, I think, but I don't know. Keep those guys, but give them nothing to do because revival breaks out. Saloons and bars shut down for lack of business. Public drunkenness was almost non-existent. Now, this is a place where these were major problems. Public drunkenness was almost non-existent. Old debts, many long forgotten, were paid off in full. Let's get that back. Like, please, yes. Let's do the debts all covered. People were getting rid of debts. Hey, you owe me that $500. Don't worry about it. What? Why? Jesus, let me tell you about him. I mean, revival. It's just people are getting saved like crazy. Traveling theatrical agencies canceled all their engagements as everyone was in church. Profanity disappeared. Now, I don't know where your stance is on that or anything. Like, here's the problem for these guys, coal miners, right? Working in the coal mines and all this good stuff. Their mules quit working because they couldn't understand their owners anymore because they weren't cussing at them. They had to relearn the new commands from these owners who became believers, and they stopped cussing. The horses and mules quit working. That's incredible. That's amazing. That's hilarious, but that is amazing. They were in complete confusion, is what this says. Horses everywhere were in complete confusion. They've been accustomed to responding to the master's profane shouts and kicks and cursings and all that stuff. It all disappeared. Some of their professional athletes, rugby players, there is one account of one individual rugby player, because all the cursing had stopped by and large, and one player said a cuss word, and he immediately like repented. And they were saying, like, this stuff was happening, like, all the time during this year. It was the weirdest thing ever. And there's a lot of eyewitness accounts to these things. So it's not like some weird, like, made-up stuff. G. Campbell Morgan, one guy that I tremendously love and love reading his books, he showed up because he's like, I got to check this thing out. And he validated everything that was happening. He's like, listen, and he's a very level-headed guy, like, very, you know, very kind of even-keeled, level-headed guy. And he's like, the stuff's happening. It's real. It says, just continual, like these worship service that were happening, they were going on for hours and hours and hours. And all this was just saying, and G. Campbell Morgan says this, on Christmas Sunday of 1904, he closed his sermon by saying this, and this is what's important for us. Let no man hear of what happened in Wales and try to start it in his own land. Let no one hear of what happened in Ephesus and try to start it in your own land. Here's why. Why? Because no man started it in Wales. We cannot produce revival. We can only pray that God would be gracious to us and send it in abundance. Ephesus, why that happened? It's because God sent it. There in Wales, 1904 to 1905, revival broke out because God sent it. In your heart, in your relationship with Jesus, revival breaks out. It's because God is doing it. It's because God does it, right? It's not something you can muster up. It's not something you can create. We can't schedule revivals. We can't do any of that stuff. It's all up to the Lord on when He wants to pour it out. He did it in Ephesus. It's done in Wells. He could do it again. If he wants to do it in America, he can do it again. It's up to him. I pray that that happens. I pray he does it in Galveston. I pray that revival breaks out in Galveston. More importantly, I pray revival breaks out in this heart of mine and in your hearts as well at Calvary Galveston, because this is where it starts. Starting in a prayer meeting in Wells, and a pastor praying for 13 years for it to happen. It started in Ephesus when Paul is investing 2 years of his life in teaching the individuals the Word of God and talking about Jesus nonstop. It can happen again, but it starts within the heart of the individual. So we'll wrap up there. Nice little scary story time is over. It's not scary. None of it's scary. Listen, you know Jesus, you're in good hands. You know Jesus, you're in good hands. Now, my encouragement for all of us is this. Press into that relationship even more. Grow in that relationship even more. Spend time reading the Word. Spend time praying. Spend time fasting. Spend time giving. Spend time with Jesus, growing in your relationship with Him. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Jesus. You're in good hands. He's got you. He's got you. You're going to be okay.
Hope for the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
You've been listening to another edition of Bread for the Broken with Pastor James Grizzle. We're so glad that you joined us as we learned about the early church in the book of Acts together. What an incredibly powerful book of God's faithfulness. If you'd like to listen to today's teaching again or hear more teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're there, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind this ministry, Calvary Chapel Galveston. If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you visit. We meet each Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. for worship and Bible study. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so we invite you to come just as you are. For directions and to learn more about us, just visit breadforthebroken.com. We would also love to connect with you. Just drop us a note in the contact form to let us know if you've been blessed by this ministry. Would you also prayerfully consider partnering with us in this ministry? Support from people like you allows us to share the gospel in unique and amazing ways. If you'd like to donate, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the donations tab. Any and all donations are welcome and greatly appreciated. We thank you in advance for your generosity in partnering with what God is doing. Our website one more time is breadforthebroken.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today, but be sure to tune in again next time as Pastor James teaches more from the book of Acts right here on Bread for the Broken.
Let me paint the picture of humans, the one love there.